end of the line here. We have the state tournament set in high school basketball here in Nevada. Prep Sports Now, Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. Probably our last podcast for months. It's a sad day, but we must trudge forward.
If we knew how to put music into these podcasts, which I think you could probably figure out.
Yeah, I kind of know how. I know how to do it.
I have no clue, but have you ever heard the Boys to Men song? And we come to the end of the road. Where I can't
That's really what we were going to lead the podcast with, is that Boys to Men song. We were really going to do that? Well, hey, I got another reason why we could do a Boys to Men.
Okay.
I don't know. You might have been hoping to go in a different direction to start. But Boys to Men, I think, would be a good theme, because that's what we saw this Green Valley team go this year. Boys to Men. I was looking back at their schedule, and, I mean, we all knew they struggled at the beginning of the year. I think I picked them to be the 4 seed in the playoffs. You didn't even pick them to make the playoffs. But, I mean, they were 0-5, I think. 0-4, 1-5, 4-11. This team looked like they were, you know, had nothing, and here we are about to talk about them playing Hug in the state semifinals.
Yeah, I guess two things. One, if you look at those losses, though, they were losing a lot of close games. You know, they lost in overtime, I think, in back-to-back games. They were real close against Centennial. And give credit where credit is due. Lorenzo Jarvis, master motivator, definitely knows how to push these kids' buttons the right way, and he has them believing that they're a good team. Now, they've definitely earned the right to be at the state tournament. Everybody knows about Nugget, Darrell McDonald, the DePaul commit, who had 32 points against Foothill and played like a Division I player. I think a lot of times this year he was really unselfish, tried to get his teammates involved. And I was thinking, well, if Green Valley's going to win anything, McDonald needs to kind of be like Shabazz Muhammad and make sure he gets his shot first. And that's exactly what Nugget did. And then Devin Kahn, 6'4", power forward, not the ideal power forward height case, but the kid's got a ton of confidence, went off for 34 against Valley, kind of dominated our boy Caleb Carter a little bit. And now all of a sudden, Green Valley's got a great 1-2 punch, and then everything else kind of falls into place. And it's a great story. You know, you go from 4-11, you got a losing record at the end of January, and now you're going to the state tournament. It's what high school sports should be about.
Yeah, a few points on Green Valley. How do you say his name, Devin Kahn or Kahn?
Kahn.
For once, I'm the one saying Kahn. That wrong. All right, Devin Kahn, great hair.
I like that.
I love his hair when I was flipping through the photo gallery. I actually never saw Green Valley this year, but did keep up a lot. Also, going back to the beginning of the season, yeah, I mean, they had a lot of close losses, but some of them were bad, too. I mean, they lost to L-Dog twice. We saw El Dorado didn't really do anything this year.
But at the beginning of the year, L-Dog wasn't as bad as they were at the end.
That's true, but I think they one of those games they did lose pretty badly, maybe to Vegas or someone like that. But anyway, I think you mentioned Lorenzo Jarvis, giving him credit. I think this guy has just done a tremendous job. I think one of the best ways you can judge a coach is seeing the difference between a team at the beginning and the end. And what this is Jarvis's second year over at Green Valley. 2 years in a row, this team was not good at all at the beginning, had a losing record. Last year you laughed at me when I told you Green Valley was going to make the playoffs. This year it was only a little bit better between me and you thinking about Green Valley. And both times at the end of the year, they were so much better than they were at the beginning. And I think that's when you see that, that's usually a testament to the coaching.
Yeah, and Green Valley High, Case, it's about 20 years old, opened in 1991, and was great at everything. You know, baseball won 6 in a row. Golf, they didn't lose a match for like a decade. They won all kind of swimming and tennis titles and soccer, and they're at the top of everything. But basketball, they could never break through. And Lorenzo Jarvis comes 2 years or 3 years ago. His daughter, Jasmine Jarvis, is the best player on the girls' team. They win the region and go to state, first banner for Hoop. And now this year he's coaching his son on the boys' team. They win another banner and they go to Hoop. And, you know, coaching, I think it's twofold. It's the X's and the O's and the teaching parlayed to just getting your kids ready to play and getting them mentally right. And a lot of times you see a coach really jump down a player's throat and yell at him. And watching this Green Valley team play, there's a lot of times when Jarvis could have done that, but the guy always keeps kind of a calm demeanor, and I think he's really pushed the buttons the right way. And give credit where credit is due. you know, looking at the game against Hug, you and I both aren't impressed with Hug. Green Valley could be playing in the state championship game, which I totally would have I'd not have picked at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they definitely could. We did break down Hug a little bit. Good record, 23-3, but a lot of close games. Seems like they play good defense, maybe win that way. I think this is about a pick 'em. You mentioned Lorenzo Jarvis' son, Lorenzo Jarvis Jr., correct? He's a key cog on that team, too.
He's a key cog, you know, a great role player, real undersized. You know, the chance against that kid are hit the weight room. But he's a great he's a lefty. He shoots very good from the outside and is just a key role player. And Green Valley's got about three or four of these kids who – you know, could get lost at the end of the bench on some teams, but they got a great chemistry there. And of course it helps. You know, you got when you got a Division I kid like McDonald, you know somebody who is going to be able to step back and hit a three or take the ball to the basket. You know, I hate to compare Shabazz Muhammad, who's the best player in town, best player we've probably ever seen, to McDonald. But the one thing they have in common is their scores. They take the ball to the rack, they get fouled, and they go to the line. Like, sometimes, you know, I see Shabazz or Nugget drive, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to get hurt. Oh, God, there's a collision. And they pop up okay. They go to the line, and they hit two, and they move on to the next play. And I think that's been fun to watch.
Yep, definitely. Well, we'll get to our picks for that game a little bit later, but let's touch on the other region. You were at the Sunrise all weekend at Green Valley. Great atmosphere, I'm assuming. Shout-out to the Foothill High, who made the great signs of us. And Green Valley, the Instigator Nation. Two good student sections, good environment. Why was it a good environment, too? The Sunset, Gorman always travels pretty well, had a lot of people out there. And Palo Verde runs through two teams, Clark and Centennial, two upsets to get to the big Bishop Gorman game. Gorman handled them pretty easily. But I got to tell you, it was fun being around there. And with all due respect to Gorman, really, the reason they were so great in this tournament is because everyone played well. I mean, 1 through 6, all their guys stepped up. But if this was like the NCAA tournament, we had a media vote for MVP of the tournament, there's no doubt in my mind I wouldn't take a Gorman guy. I would take Aris Winder. This kid for Palo, 28 points when they beat Clark, 33 points when they beat Centennial, and 39 against Gorman. The only reason they kept it close, it was funny when you were talking about Nugget, Darrell McDonald, about him being more aggressive and taking shots than he needed to. That's exactly how I felt about Aris Winder for Palo.
Yeah, and I'm all about, you know, getting your teammates involved and making them feel like they're part of the offense. But when push comes to shove, Michael Jordan needs to play. And Winder's Palo's Jordan. It's that simple. I think what just by reading your stuff, Case, what impressed me about that Sunset tournament is we finally saw Demetrius Morant be more of a complete offensive player. Obviously, he's real raw, the UNLV commit. We know he could block. We know he plays decent D, and we know he could dunk. But he showed a little more besides the dunking, a little more.
Yeah,
but the dunks were awesome.
Not much. I think the first game he might have made one short jumper. He went perfect from the free throw line in the second game, and he had such a nice touch from free throw, from the free throw line. I was sitting with Kent Johnson, the Gorman assistant, ex Sierra Vista coach, one of our favorites here on the podcast. And he was telling me people don't realize the kid has a really good touch. He just in high school at least. He can dunk every time he gets the ball, so what's the point of doing anything else? And I did see a little bit more of his game, and I think this was the best two-game stretch I've ever seen for Demetrius Morant.
Yeah, that lead photo when they beat Legacy of him dunking and, like, his head is above the rim, that's disgustingly sick.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And his great quote afterwards where he did the sign of the cross for me and another reporter and said, I baptized the guy.
Yeah.
Which prompted Grant Rice to say he's now going to have to stand with us for every interview
that
we have with one of his guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just absolutely funny. And then I like how against Palo, where I guess there was like 90 plus foul shots taken, he got called for a tee for hanging on the rim.
Yeah. Yeah. He got, and it seemed like his, you'd have to ask him, I don't know exactly, but it seemed like his finger was kind of like in a bad spot and he hurt his finger and he was going to land right. He was literally going to rack himself on the head of some guy below him. So he wasn't really hanging on the rim. It was kind of a ridiculous technical. There were a couple, I think there were like 4 or 5 technicals in that game, and I only think 1 or 2 of them were justified.
Yeah, and you hate to get on the officials because it's kind of a thankless job. They get like $40 a game, and there's, you know, everybody yells at them. But the Valley Coronado game I attended, They the people keeping the scorebook lost track of the score twice, and had it wrong on the scoreboard and in the book, and they had to bring the coaches together. I'm like, how hard is it to count?
That, I mean, yeah, exactly.
In the playoffs, this is supposed to be the A team.
It didn't happen twice, but this weekend did happen once. One of my games too, Centennial Palo Verde. The scoring was off. I had it right. I was worried I was wrong, but I didn't change anything. And then luckily, Todd Allen, the Centennial coach, came over and is, you know, not too happy because they're losing big and they're getting another point taken off and they got it figured out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about those mistakes.
I mean, I hate
a lot
to
more
complain.
Of those in high school than anything else.
I hate to complain. And you know me, I'm like anti-Reno and I've got all these conspiracy theories. I could promise you that if it's an all-Reno crew working at Lawler Events Center, which it probably won't be because usually the local association brings a few guys up, but could you imagine Gorman getting any call against the Reno team up there?
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
Just I'm not defending Gorman. I'm just planting that seed in everybody's mind.
That's a good point, but I don't think it'll matter. I think Gorman's probably more than a 20-point favorite against anyone they'll play. I made him a 22-point favorite over Palo, so Palo actually covered. Maybe that was too much.
Is everybody playing for second? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm trying to say, but I totally believe it this year, even more than ever. But I did say that last year, too, and it didn't happen.
I mean, just playing, you know, Monday morning quarterback, looking at last year's team. Okay, huge upset that they lost in Minogue. Boss had 9 points. You and I both agree that if they played that game 100 times, Gorman wins 97 of the times, if not more, right?
Correct.
Okay. But we knew that Gorman wasn't that big of a lock to win because Canyon, who ultimately did win the title, had two D1 kids, a lot of athletes, and was a great team. And we wanted – that was kind of like our, oh, Paolo Gorman football match we wanted to see.
Yeah.
At the same time, now looking back at it, one other deep layer – that was kind of the first year of the big three being like the leaders. It was the first year Carter, Allen, and Muhammad kind of had to drive the keys to the Cadillac without Jay Lloyd from the previous year. And Gorman still, to this day right now, has a liability at the point guard, right? I mean, Robothan is good, and he's going to be the man, I think, next year, maybe. I don't know. But I think that – you could take advantage of Gorman at that one hole, possibly.
Right. At least last year. Guzman's playing a lot more than him right now, though. He's been the starter. I think maybe Robothan there might be more upside, but just from watching him the little bit I have, I think Guzman may be a little bit safer. He has some chemistry with these guys. He finds them when they're open. I think he takes care of the ball probably a little bit better than anyone else they have.
And then, of course, you have Shabazz's brother, Rashad, who gets in the mix as well sometimes.
Yeah, he played actually quite a lot these last two games, more than usual. I think he had 11 points in one of the games. So Bishop Gorman, Ronnie Stanley had an outstanding weekend. Roscoe Allen looked really well. Ben Carter, one of the games, had 18 and 11. I mean, there's nothing bad I can say about this team. I think they should roll through anyone up there.
They should roll through. Enjoy it, folks. This is a once-in-a-lifetime type of team. Gorman has always been able to attract quality players, but to attract four elite Division I guys like they have right now is virtually unheard of. In fact, they have 7 kids with offers on that team to Division I schools.
And another one that's playing Division I football.
Yeah, and
Notre Dame.
So this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. You take all those D1 kids off the roster, would you still make Gorman a favorite if they didn't have Boz, Carter, Allen, Morant, or Stanley? All seniors. They're all gone. Wipe the deck.
Do you just have to take away the seniors?
Yeah. So you still have Rashad Muhammad, Robothan.
Zimmerman.
Who's
back after having meniscus surgery a month ago. How crazy is that?
And he's healthy and back and playing.
He played, yeah.
Zimmerman, the kid from Minogue. I can't say his last name.
I don't know his name. But I don't know. I probably wouldn't. I might take the field if that was your team. I mean, that's tough. That's a lot of guys that are gone. So, I mean, this is what it's come to. We have to debate Gorman's third team.
So this is what we have next year, though. We have a pretty balanced field, I would think. I mean, there were games this year when Gorman needed Muhammad to win against Clark. Would you agree? If he wasn't there that day, they lose at Clark.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I always – we go into these state tournaments, and we've covered a few of them the last 3 years – basketball and football, or even baseball with Gorman. And people get so defeated because Gorman looks like they're never going to lose. Not this year, not next year, not the year down the road. And I don't want people to get discouraged because this is, in my opinion, a once-in-a-lifetime type of team. I don't think Gorman's the favorite next year. You know, yeah. I think if Paolo gets a move in, they have Winder probably the best player in town. Centennial's got the Twins. I mean, anything could happen. Yeah, Gorman has got its D1 kids, and they're deep. But there's going to be deficiencies, and you could beat them at your building.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it right now. I mean, who knows? They might have some kids that are ready to explode on their JV or – you know, it seems like there's great basketball players that, I mean, Morant, for example, moved in from a different part of town to go to Gorman. Maybe there's a kid like that that comes in next year. But certainly they don't look like the favorite right now. I mean, Paolo looks great with Winder and Daryl Gaynor coming back. He had 24 against Gorman. Centennial's still really young. I mean, there's I think next year there's going to be some parity.
There is. Now, would you take Winder and Gaynor over, like, Muhammad and Robothan? Ann Zimmerman? No, probably not.
Not Ann Zimmerman, but I would take Winder and Gaynor over, from what I've seen, over who are the first, Muhammad and Robotham. Uh-huh. I would take those two over, okay. Muhammad and Robotham.
Do you think that Muhammad, and I'm only asking you because you've got to see him up close, and I know you're a huge Winder fan. Do you take 6 foot Winder? He's 6 foot, right?
Listed six foot, probably.
Over Rashad Muhammad?
That's tough. I mean, I was thinking of the package. Not to, like, rank these. All these guys are great. I'm not, okay. like, trying to be, you know, too crazy. But
I love that you're on the hot seat for once, that I'm just sitting back and enjoying it.
I think it was the combination of Winder and Gaynor that made me excited. I think that those two guys are even more athletic, maybe, than Muhammad and Robotham. I don't know. I would take the combination, definitely. I'd probably have to think about it a little bit more if it's just between those two kids. I would probably lean Winder right now. I think he can do a little bit more, but Rashawn Muhammad's awfully good too.
Yeah, and I know that we talked earlier in the show about Lorenzo Jarvis being a great coach. I've told you time and again, Jermone Riley, he could coach my kid any day, man. He gets the most out of nothing.
I mean, he made just some slight adjustments. He was acting like it was nothing, but that's why, I mean, Centennial beat him twice earlier in the year, and he said, we're not going to play zone against him anymore. We're going to man up. I'm going to put Matlock, my best defender, on the one Allen kid that killed him, and look what happens. I mean, he seems to be the coach that year after year makes those adjustments that pay off.
And you got to give him props. Before we conclude here, Prep Sports Now, maybe one of the last ones of the year. Got to give the shout out to the Foothill girls. They win the regional title, going to state. Cards are stacked against them. I told you the stat in the newsroom. They were like 3 of 20 from the foul line. You got to hit your free throws in the state tournament. But once in a lifetime opportunity to go to Reno, hop on the bus or the plane and get there. Have fun. Take a few photos.
You should clarify. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play in the state tournament, not to go to Reno.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you would hope it's only once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Going to Reno is always an adventure, Case Kiefer. Keep your money in your pocket.
All right. Well, Ray Brewer will be there in Reno to give you coverage. It sounds like we both have got Gorman. What about, though, before we sign off, who do you have Gorman playing in the finals, Green Valley or Hug? I think it's about a pick-em, so I'm going to go Green Valley to continue the story.
I will as well. It's been a great story, and they are hot. They've won, I think, 11 of their last 12.
All right, Bishop Gorman, Green Valley, thanks for listening all season.